Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Awesome. Well, we're doing a series on Sunday morning called Heaven is My Home. And we're in part four today, is what will our life be like in heaven? And I want to jump right into this particular scripture. Last couple of weeks, I've had several people tell me they're very excited to hear that the Bible teaches us that we, once we're in heaven, we will have some knowledge of some things going on earth here. You know, for example, if you've prayed for 40 years for someone to get saved, a relative or something, and then you die on earth and you go immediately to heaven, then in heaven, there's a scripture that tells us that in heaven, there's joy in heaven over one sinner who repents down here. So in heaven, there's going to be, you'll get to glimpse back down on earth and you'll see loved ones who get saved. You'll see miracles that you prayed for that you didn't get to see in your lifetime here, but you'll be excited in heaven because you'll see someone repent and turn to the Lord. So you'll get to see many answers to prayer. So it causes rejoicing in heaven. And a few weeks ago, there were many of you who came forward in this church service for salvation or confirmation that you're saved. And there was a great joy in heaven. I wish we could hear the roar of celebration that goes on in heaven. But it is awesome to think that people in heaven right now are watching because somebody in this service is believing God for salvation or a change of life or whatever it may be. And they're seeing an answer to their prayer. So we have evidence that people in heaven do look back. So when we're in heaven, we're going to be able to see some things that are going on here on earth. Another evidence of that is in Revelation chapter 6. And there it says there were people in heaven who were martyrs. They died for the word of God. And John said in his vision of heaven, he said, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony that they held. And they cried out with a loud voice, how long, O God? How long, O sovereign Lord, holy and true? How long are you going to wait till you avenge our blood for the people on earth? There's still injustice and we haven't been avenged. And then a white robe was given them and they were told to rest a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants who would be killed as they were going to happen. More martyrs were going to happen. So we see that in heaven, they were looking down and seeing that, God, you haven't brought justice yet to those who took our lives. Why haven't you avenged our blood? And then we see in Revelation 19, later on, after a period of time, they are shouting, Hallelujah, God, hallelujah. You have avenged the blood of your servants. God is a God of justice, and if he promises something, he's going to do it. So it's not until Revelation 19 that we see them celebrating. So they were able to see on earth that things were not right just yet. But they were also able to see when things were made right, and God did avenge their blood and did bring justice. And so we have a lot that we just don't understand about heaven, but we do get to see that we will have some level of awareness of what's happening on earth. How much, I can't tell you. I really don't know. So we do have some level of awareness of heaven. Now, let's go on to the next slide, and I want you to see something important here. We're going to recap a little bit of what we've looked at the last 4 weeks. What happens when a believer dies? Instantly, angels escort you to heaven. It's not a waiting period. They instantly show up, whether you're in the emergency room or you just in your sleep or however it is. Angels come to escort you to heaven. That's going to be awesome in itself. It's going to be, you know, you're aware of what's happening. It's not like you don't know what's happening. You're aware that this is happening, that you're leaving your physical body, but you're still alive. In fact, you're very much alive. In fact, you don't have joint pain. You don't have a cough. You don't have weakness. You're not bound to a bed or a wheelchair any longer. I mean, you instantly are fully, fully alive, and you're aware of what's happening. You're probably going to be surprised. Was that death? That's all it was? I feared that all my life? Was that all there was? It was like a snap of the finger and we're out of the body. You're fully alive, but you're given a temporary heavenly body. See, the spirit and soul has to have a body. So you're going to be given a temporary heavenly body. You're not going to be a mist of smoke, a vapor flying around on a harp, playing a harp on a cloud or anything like that. You have a body. It's a temporary body. People are going to recognize you. People are going to recognize you. There's going to be a welcoming committee at the gate when you come to heaven with the angels. You're going to see people probably that you went to high school with, maybe grade school with, people that have passed on before you. You're going to instantly know them. You won't need a name tag. They don't need a name tag. You'll know everybody. You'll recognize people you haven't seen for a long time. And some you probably never even knew. They were relatives who were praying for you. Maybe a grandparent, a great-grandparent. You don't know. But people who prayed for you and loved you. And there's going to be a huge welcoming party there and a sea of faces there. It is going to be absolutely thrilling. You're going to see the throne of God that we've been preaching about, and you're going to say, Pastor Gary was right. It's there. I see it. He was right. And I've told you, you're going to see it with your own eyes. You're going to see Jesus face to face. How is God going to be with millions of people at the same time? I have no idea, but he's going to be able to do it. You're going to have face-to-face communion with God, and you're going to be overwhelmed with the glory. I mean overwhelmed. Breathtaking. The flowers sing. The grass sings. The trees sing. There's a sweet aroma of the presence of Jesus in the atmosphere. There's no sun or moon. There's no need for it. The glory of God is just radiating on people, and people radiate with joy. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but this is just absolutely awesome. That's why the Bible tells us while you're here on earth and you suffer trouble and you have temporary setbacks and maybe you got to deal with some physical things or emotional things, just remember, it's just temporary, folks. It's just temporary. It's not forever. Praise God. We don't live here forever. God did not allow Adam and Eve to eat from the tree of life after they sinned. Otherwise, we'd be here forever. You'd have a terminal illness. You'd never terminate. The blind would always say blind. The deaf would always be deaf. The retarded child would always be retarded. But this would be horrible to stay here like this forever. But we have something to look forward to. Our hope is in heaven. And Bible says, set your mind on things above. And that's how Jesus even endured the cross. He was looking forward to the reward. He was looking forward. That's how you endure some hardships here. That's how you overcome the suicidal hopelessness spirit that, oh, everything's so bad here. Never going to. No, 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 no. There is heaven. There is a hope. There is life beyond this life. And the same God who is God in heaven is the God here with you. And he'll help you overcome here. So I want to talk to you a little bit about what are we going to be doing? Well, number one, there's going to be a new and improved version of you. How many of you are ready for an upgrade? Oh, you got one coming. Man, you got a great one coming. You're really going to be excited when you get your upgrade. A new improved version of you. And the great thing to think about here, because people have so many Hollywood distortions of heaven, is it's going to be you. It's not a different you. It's going to be you. The same you that's you right now, but a new and improved version of you. Look at the scripture. It says, speaking about the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. That's just the people who are in heaven. At the time of the rapture on earth, they're going to have a physical resurrection at that moment. Their physical bodies that were returned to dust, maybe scattered all over the place, blown apart by a bomb, doesn't matter. God knows how to all put all the particles back together. They're going to have a resurrection. That's going to be the first thing that happens when the Lord shows up. And we're going to see that. Then we who are alive and remain, it's very possible that many here will be alive at the rapture of the church. That you will actually be there. You won't experience death. But we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds. The same way that Jesus ascended, looking up into the clouds, and the angel said, "Why do you stand here looking up into the clouds?" The same Jesus that went up is going to come in like manner. He's coming back in the clouds. We will meet him in the air, in the clouds, and we shall forever be with the Lord. And then he says, now comfort one another with these words. So somebody you know needs comfort. Tell them, this is not forever. This is life is just a vapor. It's only temporary. You can make it through if you know it's not forever. Comfort one another with these words. So we have earthly bodies right now. You have to have a body to function on earth. You know, the taste, touch, see, smell. You have to have those physical senses to operate on earth. A spirit and a soul could not operate on earth without a body. We have earthly bodies right now because it's a perfect, earth is a perfect atmosphere for this earth suit that we live in. But people in heaven right now have a temporary heavenly body, not the one they're going to have forever. So if you died today and you go to heaven, you're not a spirit floating around. You're going to have a heavenly body that's suited for heaven. The atmosphere of heaven has to have a certain kind of body that can exist. It's different from the earth body. But when the rapture comes, we're all going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to get resurrected bodies, physical bodies, that are resurrected like Jesus was resurrected. Amen. We're going to experience the same type of thing. People ask, well, what do these bodies look like? Well, there's tons of scripture in the Bible that tell you. 1 Corinthians 15, by the way, is a great chapter to read about Paul telling you what the resurrected body is going to look like. But let me just give you some brief overview of that. In a resurrected body, you're going to be able to move about without walking from place to place. You won't drive a golf cart. You won't drive a car or a motorcycle. You're just going to be able to instantly be transported from one place to the other. Just like Star Trek. Beam me up. You're going to be here. You're going to be there. With just a thought, your whole body is going to be changed and transported from here to there. And we know that because of the resurrected body of Jesus. Jesus said in Luke 24, this after the resurrection with the guys on the road to Emmaus, he met with them, and while they were talking, Jesus himself stood among them. They must have freaked out. Ah, he's here. Suddenly, nothing there. Suddenly, he's there. You know, it's like you when you backing up and you didn't think anybody's behind you, turn and you get startled and you bump into somebody who was there. He's there. He's there that instant. And he says to them, peace be with you. He often has to say that because people freak out. Calm down. It's me. It's not a ghost. They were startled thinking, it's a ghost. It's a ghost. He said, no, it's not a ghost. It's me. His resurrected body. Now, here's another thing that's important. Your resurrected body looks like you. It looks like you, number two. But it's improved. Jesus said to them, look, guys, why are you troubled? Why are you staring at me? Why are you like in shock? It's me. Touch my hands. Touch my feet. Touch my side. See, a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones. He had a resurrected body. You're going to have a resurrected body, not a ghostly thing. But yet you're going to be able to move about, go here and there. In a twinkling of an eye, it's absolutely going to be awesome. Amen. Jesus appeared, it says in John 20, at the resurrection because Thomas was doubting. Thomas was saying, I'm not going to believe unless I see it my own self. I love you guys, and I believe you guys are telling what you experienced, but I just don't believe it's true. I've never seen anybody raised from the dead. I think you're seeing things in your mind. I'm just not going to believe. And suddenly Jesus appeared. Boom. Right when he said that. And he said to Thomas, "Thomas, put your finger here and touch my hands. Don't be faithless. Touch my side. Quit being faithless. Quit trying to understand it all." One of the biggest problems Christians have is they try to understand it all before they believe it. If you try to understand everything about salvation before you believe it, you're not going to get saved. If you try to understand it all before you about healing, you're not going to be healed. You have to trust God. He's trustworthy. And so go back to that scripture for a moment there. He said to Thomas, he said, "Thomas, quit doubting. Don't be faithless, but believing." And this is what he's saying to his church. And look at what Thomas said. I love to use this verse of scripture with Jehovah's Witnesses who come to your door, because they don't believe that Jesus is God. They'll say he's the Son of God, but they don't believe that Jesus is God. And look at what Thomas said. Thomas said, "My Lord and my Jesus is God." When you get to heaven, there's not three thrones up there. There's one throne. Who are you going to see? You're going to see Jesus, because he is God manifested in the flesh. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Don't get confused by the mystery of the Trinity. Just accept the fact that it's a mystery. We don't understand it, but we believe God. I'm telling you, the Bible tells us, like in Ephesians 3:20, it says that eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for him. We can't even imagine on God's level. Then he says, "But the Holy Spirit has revealed them through the Word of God." But you have to have faith to believe it, because it is unbelievable without the Spirit. It's too good to be true, but it's true. Surrounded by his glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I be able to sing it all? You can't imagine. No, you can't. No, you can't. Not your best imagination. Walt Disney couldn't imagine it. Walt Disney declared Disney World's the happiest place on earth. I got news for you. No. There's coming a new heaven and a new earth that's going to be the happiest place on earth. And it's real. It's awesome, guys. And that's why God says, make sure you set your mind on this. Because you can get so focused down here, you get depressed, you get lonely, you get disappointed with church, you get disappointed with God. Because God doesn't do some things that you think he ought to do. I mean, the martyrs up in heaven, and they were saying, "God, how long before you're going to..." And God said, "Now you guys got to rest. Just rest. Trust me. Be patient with me. I'm faithful to my word. If I said I'm going to take care of it, I'm going to take care of it." If God's given you a promise, you got to tell yourself, "Now rest. God has given me a promise. That's all I need. And I have to be patient with God. I may see it in my lifetime. I may not see it in my lifetime." Unless God told you, like he told Simeon, that before he died, he was going to see the Lord's Messiah, then you don't have any reason to put a time limit on God before something's going to happen. You just have to, "God, I trust you. I believe you." Numbers 23:19, the Bible makes it very clear. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he not said, and shall he not do it? Hath he not promised, and shall he not make his promise good? So how many of you have a promise that you're holding on to that you haven't received the answer to yet? God is good for the promise. Thank God for it. As if it's already happened, thank him, because in the Spirit it's already happened. Now, another great thing about the new life that we're going to have in heaven and we ought to get excited about. We're going to live in a new body, but we're also going to live in a new heaven and a new earth. Not the same one. It's this earth, but it is a new and improved version. It's refined by fire, the Bible says. A new heaven and a new earth. You know, Isaiah prophesied this 700 years before the time of Christ. He prophesied that there's going to come a new heaven and a new earth. He prophesied about things he didn't understand. The prophets often prophesied things they didn't understand. Just like you and I, we read things in the Bible that we just don't understand, but they're true. And then John had a vision of it. When God took him to heaven, he showed him the future. John actually stepped into the future with God, and God showed him what the future was going to be like. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. No more ocean. I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, how do you explain that? It's beyond. It's beyond our capability, unless the Holy Spirit quickens it to us, to really be able to grasp this kind of thing. But there's a new heaven and a new earth that's going to be forever. And this great thing about this is the curse has been removed. You know, the earth is under a curse. The earth. That's why there's futility. That's why there's frustration. That's why some things just don't work out no matter how hard you try. You know, you can plant good seed in the ground, but you still got weeds that come up. And so the curse is going to be removed from the new heavens and the new earth. Animals are going to be there. Amen. And there's perfect harmony. The cobra and the lamb and the lion are all going to lay down together. There's not going to be any fear. Now, I don't like snakes, but there, I ain't going to have any fear of any cobra. I don't want to have one on my arm, but I just... But I'm not going to be afraid of it because there's nothing there that can harm you. And there's no death and no sorrow. Now I need to stop here and help you understand something. Some of you right now are plagued with tormenting thoughts about your past, about guilt, about regrets, of things you've done, shame, blame, things you did you wish you hadn't done. If you could do it over again, you'd do it over again. Well, and you're being tormented by the devil because the devil loves to torment you with the past. Because you can't do anything about it, see. So that's why he tries to torment you. So someone said when the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future, see. The lake of fire. And don't accept that. That's under the blood. I'm covered. That's over with. And the new heaven and the new earth, there's not even going to be a thought of that. You'll never have a pain or fear of rejection or guilt or shame or whatever you've done in the past. You'll never have any of that whatsoever. There's no death, no sorrow. I mean, you talk about freedom. Imagine how much energy you waste physically and emotionally over guilt of the past, things you can't do anything about. You're not going to have any of that. Meaningful work. Yeah, you're going to have work in heaven, but it's going to be a joy. It's going to be fullness of life. It's just going to be a blast. You're going to enjoy it, and you're not going to have futility. And there's going to be good food. By the way, we're going to eat. We're going to taste really, really good food. We are. We're going to have good food and good fellowship. It's awesome. I'm telling you. Remember when Jesus was resurrected and the disciples were so puzzled by his presence, he said, just to help them get on the same page with him, he said, hey, you got anything to eat? Well, we have a keto bar over here, God, if you don't need to be concerned about that. And you're going to have a face-to-face relationship with God, knowing clearly his will. Sometimes down here, we puzzle with is what is God's will, trying to find out the will of God. And we strive and we work and we hope we know what the will of God is and trying to find out a certain matter. But in heaven, there's not going to be any of that. You're going to know the perfect will of God instantly. There's no striving. There's no concern. And the Bible says, John said, he said, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will be with them. I'm telling you, the fellowship, the sweetest fellowship you've ever had with God here, your special moment that you tell your kids and grandkids about, that special time you've had with God where his presence was so tangible, this is going to be a million times magnified. It's just going to blow all your fuses. It is just awesome. It is awesome. There's just no words to really describe. And you're going to have a new relationship with your past. Again, you're not going to have the sorrow, the regret, no shame, no blame. That is just wonderful. I mean, total freedom. No one's ever going to point their finger at you and blame you for something. Guys, Revelation 21 says he's going to wipe away every tear from their eyes. Wow. That is just awesome. Be no more death, no mourning, no crying, no pain. All those things are gone for good. They're never coming back. And he who was seated on the throne says, I am making everything new. And he said, now write this down, John, because these words are trustworthy and true. When I preach on heaven like this to you, it certainly raises all kinds of questions in your mind, like how do you know for sure this is true? Which is a good question. And you know it's true based on the trustworthiness of the one who's telling you this. He has a perfect record. He's never lied, never exaggerated. So he has a perfect record. So you can perfectly trust this. If anybody else told you that, you may have, well, I don't know. I don't want to be disappointed when I get there. You ain't going to be disappointed. And number six, and finally this, you will have access to the heavenly city and the new earth. I don't know how all this is going to work, but it is just, it's like this now, but it's a million times better. And John said in Revelation 21, he said, I saw the new heaven and new earth. The first earth had passed away and there was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. It was coming down out of heaven from God. You know, just like the sun and the moon hang in the sky. There's not going to be a sun or a moon on the new heavens and new earth. The glory of God's going to light everything up. There'll be no sun or moon. But like you can look up and see the sun, or you can look up and see a full moon, you're going to see the heavenly city. You're going to see the glory of God radiating from that place. I think we have a picture like that right now we can show you. And if you can bring that up behind the, yeah, move the letters for everybody. I want you to kind of get a picture. If you could look up in the sky right now and physically with your eyes see a city, a heavenly city. It's radiating with the glory of God. Streets are really made of gold. Has gates around it that are pearls. There are angels inside it, saints that have lived throughout all of human history. It's a huge, huge city. Now, by comparison, let's look at some statistics for a moment. When you think of this city, the New Jerusalem is 1,960,000 square miles. 12,000 times 12,000 times 12,000 times 12,000 and goes on. Well, compare that with Los Angeles, which I think is the largest city in the world today. It's 503 square miles. Hong Kong is 426 square miles, or thousands of miles, whatever it is. And New York City, 469. So look how much larger the heavenly city is. Probably billions of people living there. And you think of a city, it's busy. There's commerce. There's things going on. There's travel. There's excitement. There's business. There's things that are going on. And the Bible says there's no sun or moon. No sun or moon. Heaven and God will be powered by the glory of God Himself. I love this picture up here. When I look at this and I don't see a sun and I don't see a moon, and to me, it's just being radiated by the glory of God. Except in heaven, there's not going to be any shadows. You know, up here, I can look down and see a shadow because I got a light right there. But in heaven, there's not going to be any shadow because it's a perfect light. Amen. There's no shadow. So you really got something to look forward to. And while you're here, you are to really are to live out your days to the fullest and make it your goal to take as many people to heaven with you as you possibly can. You know, you may need to write a letter to your grandchildren because you can't talk to them face to face, or write a letter to a relative and tell them your testimony and tell them that you want to see them in heaven and write out the plan of salvation for them, you know, because maybe they won't talk to you in person. Well, write them a letter. They'll read a letter just to see what you have to say. And, you know, you have neighbors around you. We have neighbors around us that I'm not really certain about. I don't know their spiritual condition of all of them. And I'm concerned about them. I pray for them and I look for opportunities to talk to the Lord, talk about the Lord to them. And you should be too, because that's what we're here to do. We're here to get this, not just this church full. That's wonderful when that's happening and it looks pretty full today. But we're trying to get heaven full. There's lots of people going to be in heaven. And won't you be thrilled in heaven when somebody comes up to you in heaven and say, you know, I'm in heaven today because of your influence in my life. Because you prayed for me. Because you dared to talk to me. You were bold enough to warn me. I'm in heaven today because of you. But on the other side, it'd be very sad to see someone not in heaven that you had every opportunity to talk to, but you just didn't do it because you're afraid. That would be sad. So we have an opportunity to make something do about that. We have an obligation of love that we owe everybody, a debt of love that we can never repay. We owe them the opportunity to hear the gospel and decide for themselves whether they want to accept it or reject it. That's theirs. We can't make that happen. But we owe them a debt of love. You owe them. For what God has done for you, you owe them that. You owe them that. The Bible says that salvation is a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. I've been amazed since we've had the villages living all around us now that people come from all various kinds of denominational backgrounds, all kinds. And if we raised hands here and had everybody show what kind of church back, we'd be surprised at all the various kinds of denominations. And the scary thing about that is that some of these folks were in churches that never taught that salvation is a gift. Somehow they got in their heads that salvation was something you had to earn by being a good person. That's a lie of the devil. Salvation's a gift. God says in His Word, by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Jesus is the gift that has to be received by faith. And so I'm surprised at a number of people who've never heard that. And something we're so familiar with here, we share that, and almost every time I share and give an altar call for salvation, somebody gets saved. Not every time, but a lot of times. And they've been in church. They weren't like heathens. They weren't, you know, unchurched. They were in church, but they were just not told. What a shame to go to church and never be told the truth. And you could be here today and not know that. So I never take for granted that the people standing in front of me are born again because they're just good people. You all look like you're going to be in heaven. And when I get there, you're going to be my welcoming committee. And I'm going to have to go, wow, you guys are awesome. But it's possible there's somebody here who won't be there. Because you got to realize that salvation is not being a good person. It's receiving the gift. Religion's one of the worst things that ever happened to history. Religion is man's attempt to control people with a God that he thinks exists. Jesus didn't come to start a religion. He came to bring the truth. And he had more trouble with religious people than he did anybody else. We've had more trouble with religious people than anybody else we've ever had, too. It's true. It's true. It's true. And you should, too. So we're here to bring the truth. The truth is that salvation is a gift, and you have to, there has to be a time in your life you receive it. Now, this morning, I want to do something totally off that we haven't done before. I want to ask our altar workers to come up here, and prayer intercessors on Sunday morning, or Monday mornings, come up here and stand with me, all of you, crawl across this. The intercessors on Monday morning were praying, and I believe the Lord dropped this idea in my head. And the idea was very simply this. A lot of times people, for whatever reason, it takes a lot of courage for them to get up out of their seat and walk forward and talk to people in church. And a lot of them just don't want to do that. And I can understand. But in intercession on Monday morning, the Lord dropped this in my heart. He said, dismiss the people. When you're done with the sermon, say amen. Bless the people as they go. Let them exit. They got things to do. They want to go and fellowship. Let them fellowship out in the foyer and in front of the church. That's what it's made for. And those of you who would like prayer for anything, you have questions. You don't understand. Intercessors have already been praying all week. God, give me a word for somebody. A word of prophecy, a word of knowledge. Or somebody that I'm to minister to, somebody I'm to pray with. They've been praying all week, the intercessors. And you're here, not by accident, but by divine appointment. So if there's something on your heart, you would like somebody to pray with you, but I'm going to preferably try to have men with men and women with women. But I want you to stay seated in a moment. I'm going to dismiss the congregation. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for watching online today. And if you don't need prayer, if you don't feel like that's God wants you to stay here and have somebody come up to you and pray for you, then you're free to go, okay? So if we could at this time, just please stand. Everybody stand. And in just a moment, if you're here, you need prayer for healing. You need prayer for believing. You need prayer for salvation. You need prayer for anything. You're being oppressed by the devil. I want you to sit back down and let people go around you, and we'll get to you. We're going to stay here and pray as long as there are people here. Father, I thank you. This is your church. We're your people here to do your business your way. And this is how I believe you told me to do it this Sunday. So I'm following your instructions. I trust you to get the right people up here to the right people. Words of knowledge and prophecy will flow. Demons will be cast out. Healing will manifest. Salvation will happen because the kingdom of God is here. Whenever the kingdom of God is preached and taught, those things happen. So we anticipate it. We thank you for it. Now, Lord, I pray you bless this people as they leave. Those who are leaving, give them safety. Bring them back. Encourage them. Help them to draw close to you this week. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, just sit down and let the congregation leave. We'll wait for a moment for that to happen. And then we'll come right to you and pray with you. Amen. Thank you. As we prayed, the Holy Spirit's going to highlight somebody to you. And when he highlights someone to you, go to them. And if he's already given you a word of knowledge, give them that word of knowledge and ask if that makes sense to them. Just begin to start moving and just go to the ones that you believe God is leading you to. Okay. Intercessors, go ahead and begin to move out and just go to people that are sitting. They're wanting prayer. They're wanting God to send somebody to them. Don't leave until we get to you. Don't leave until we get to you. It may take a few moments, but just be patient. Thank you, God, for hearing and answering prayer. Folks over here on this to my left that need prayer, they're waiting. So whenever you're free, if you could go to them. Thank you, God. Back over in the back. Just be patient. There are people seated waiting. If you see them, make your way over to them. Some folks way over here that need are waiting for people to come pray with them. Over to my left. Kathy,
there's some folks over that way.
I think. If you're still waiting for somebody to pray with you, just raise your hand and we'll get to you.